This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick the Week podcast, episode 261, brought to you by InStock Trades and iFanboy listeners just like you. Fanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 261. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hi, Ronald Richards.
And Josh Flanagan.
Hey, everyone.
And we are all here together in Brooklyn and in New York and recording the podcast in person. So that's always fun. I like to highlight that.
Josh looks thrilled.
Can't see the scowl.
It's a different dynamic.
It's warm in here.
It is. It's hot.
I'm not saying it's hot. It's warm.
It is warm in here.
Anyway, so we're from the website ifanboy.com, which is a website dedicated to the wonderful world of comics, where we read comics, and every week we read a stack of comics that come out, and then one of us picks the one that we think is the pick of the week and writes a review about it on ifanboy.com that you can go read. And then we come here to this podcast to talk about it along with the other various books and other interesting things that happened this past week. Before we get into the show, a quick reminder and a warning. This is a review show, so we're going to talk about what happens in the comics. So if you haven't read your books yet, if you're worried about spoilers, press pause, come back, listen later, or skip ahead. You can look at the handy show notes in the description or on the website to see when we talk about books. So if you don't want, you know, X-Men number 5 ruined, you can skip ahead to it.
That's a very detailed description.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I do. This week, Connor had the pick, and there you go. There you have it.
I had like 25 books this week.
It was a big, especially for you, it was a big week.
It was a huge week.
Yeah.
But I really thought, on the whole, it was a lot of good stuff to read, so I was pretty happy about it. And I didn't, sometimes when you have that big week, you start to get to that middle slog, you're just like, oh, but I was flying through them, I was having a good time, so that was cool. My pick of the week was Batman Incorporated.
Cool.
So that was cool. Batman Incorporated number 1 was my pick of the week. There was a bunch of big books, actually there's a couple of contenders, but at the end of the day,
a lot of Batman.
Sexy
of
fun time Batman went out.
Yeah, a lot of
butts.
Batman.
Butts.
Butts.
when Grant Morrison first came on Batman way back in 2006, I believe, when he first became the Batman writer, he promised a fun, sexy, international Batman.
Yep.
And immediately went right into the Batman R.E.P. storyline and the Damian storyline.
Took a long way to get there.
And eventually he got there in 2010, and this is the first real Batman Incorporated story in this new Batman Incorporated era of Batman, where Batman is globally franchising his brand as a crime-fighting army out into the world. And in this issue, he goes to Tokyo to train or meet and train the Tokyo version of Batman, and along the way brings Catwoman along with him, and they have sort of a sexy vibe, a flirty thing there. It's a totally different kind of Bruce Wayne than you're used to. I mean, he is taking her to hotels and letting her have champagne, and like, you deserve a nice hotel room because you had fun with the giant robot mouse
on the jet.
And I love this. It's sort of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, sort of like Nick and Nora. It's sort of this. I hope Catwoman is a main fixture in this book because, A, it's great to have a foil, but B, I like the vibe between them. I mean, I saw you guys both have it, so I'm surprised.
Yeah, you bought this? Well, I saw what the pick was,
okay,
before I was a source, so I bought it, and I don't care. I mean, this is the thing. I keep trying, yeah, with the Batman stuff, and it just doesn't grab. I thought the art was all right. Yannick Paquette's good. It was just a story, and I was just like, it was well written. It was well good, but I just have no interest.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that.
What's Yannick Paquette from? What did he do in the past?
He did a Batman Return of Bruce Wayne issue.
He did Wolverine Weapon X with Jason Aaron, the Insane Asylum one.
Oh, yeah.
He's been around a lot. I said in my reviews, not a lot of stuff that I have read from him. So he's relatively new
thinking
for me.
Yeah, he did Seven Soldiers Bulleteer with Grant, so he's worked with them before. He did one issue of Return of Bruce Wayne, so
I really liked this, and yeah. I got to tell you, this kind of tone is not. I thought I wasn't going to halfway through it, and then I started having fun with it because the fact is, like, when it first starts, you're like, boy, he's really doing up the naked lady butt, like he's really going for it.
He hung up on the butt.
It was sort of obvious. It's not me.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things that I get why he's doing it, and it sometimes it's done badly, and it's kind of sexy. It's a little, I hate to use the word cheesecake because it always becomes a thing, but it's a little like that. And I really like the Catwoman costume, by the way. I like that they stuck with this design.
Oh, it's great. It's a modern take on it or whatever.
How about Batman's codpiece, by the way? Anyway,
he's wearing a cup.
The yellow
it's,
logo.
I thought, one of the things I thought was interesting about it was when I think of Batman Incorporated, he's going to be going around setting up all of the different things. They didn't do any of that in here. It was just like the beginning of one story. I was like, well, if this is the pace we're going to take, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, look at all those flags on the cover.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is from according to Grant Morrison. We talked to him in San Diego. This is his story. So, I mean, he's going to be, it's not like he's going to set it all up this month and move on. This is the story of him doing that.
So, like, all the Batman books came out this week, right?
There's a bunch. We're going to talk about a couple of them, but I also liked the ending.
But did the coming out that Bruce Wayne's been funding Batman happen yet?
Yeah, that happened in the last issue of Batman and Robin.
Okay, that's what I was just making sure. Yeah, so I wasn't sure if people knew that in this issue or not. Yeah.
I liked the end with the kind of William Dozer-esque ending with the will Catwoman survive?
Yeah.
Find out next month in the big splash page. I thought that was a great nod. I mean, he's bringing back that sensibility that there's been a little bit of that old Batman 60s sensibility throughout his run.
It was a more fun Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
You know, he was much like, and that's what they promised, that's what they said, and after 15 years of super grim, no fun guy.
Yeah.
You think I don't like fun. Yeah. Bruce Wayne, that guy.
No fun.
He really doesn't like fun. So that was kind of fun to see him loosen up and, you know, he's still serious. One of the things I really liked in this was that, I'm not sure what the thing was, but they're in the last scene, they're about to fight and Batman's doing something and a bunch of thugs come in and Catwoman's fighting them and he's like, You got that? Like, he's not even
he's
worried
like,
about
if you need help.
That's but he's not even concerned because he knows that whatever it is, she can handle that. He's just totally confident in her. I thought that was really cool.
It's a great dynamic. For me, I really love the tone. There's a lot of great Batman books. Batman the Return, which we'll talk about later, was also really good. But for me, the tone of this was so perfect in terms of it's a breath of fresh air. It's what he promised. It's what I've been looking for. I like Grim and Gritty Batman as much as anybody, but I also like... I think it's time for him to loosen up a little bit and have, you know...
Public, normal operating Batman.
Be a little bit, you know, happier. And, I, you know, those are not unusual. That was, for many years, he was like that in the comics. It just so happens they were...
I'm not so into Mighty Lord Deathman. Don't really care about that.
That whole Japanese...
He's from the Bat manga.
Oh, is he?
Did you get that? No. But I think he first
And the heroes were introduced in... They were in 52, or not 52.
52, and then Joe Casey did a miniseries about them.
Exactly, so... So it's tied into it.
But the thing is, it's not all light and fun and sexy. I mean, the Japanese Batman gets burned with acid, and it's
well, he was the candidate. I don't think he's going to make it.
Well, no. I mean, it opens up. That's the guy who was the Mr. Unknown character that he was going to go find was burned by Lord Deathman.
You don't want you. That's a hell of a last panel on that first page.
Yeah.
Where are my hands? That's not good.
You wake up and your hands are gone. You know it's going downhill from there.
It just seemed very rote to me, and just very, you know.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have expected you to.
I gave it a shot, though. I tried.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, at least, like, with Batman and Robin, quietly stuck kept me with it.
Sure.
That's when I bailed, but, like, Paquette, while it's good, I just didn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh.
And we should mention the G.H. Williams cover, which
is beautiful.
I thought was a great design. And also, I thought it was originally supposed to be the variant, but it was apparently not.
Oh, nice.
Thunderbolts 150 was 96 pages.
Insane. Well, that's the total page count, right?
Okay, you know what? Even so, worth the $5.
Right, exactly. No, because the Jeff Parker, Kev Walker issue was more than 22 pages. That was really long.
Yes, it totally was.
This is a really important issue if you're a real Marvel canon follower, you know, like, because the Captain America Crossbones. I mean,
I thought that too. I was like, you got to do that in here. What I realized in this is that the secret ingredient to all these great issues Steve Rogers.
Yes.
Jeff Parker writes Steve Rogers and puts him in with all these other. He does great. We need to get this guy.
Yeah.
We need to get this guy writing Steve Rogers more often. Which, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe it's fine as it is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sort of almost exactly the same thing as Avengers Prime.
Yeah, sort
Thor,
of.
Thor, Iron Man. Steve,
Cap Steve,
after some weird Man thing. Except this is actually happening, and it's like I said, Steve and Crossbones, big deal, and also the development of this team, the stuff that happens, the Crossbones development. These are all real things that are going to matter going forward in the story. The Ghost thing, really interesting. Every fight had a bunch of times in this. I was like, wow, he's killing it. And then there's funny stuff. With that weird frog character, they're like Mr. Frog, Thor, and I was like,
they were in the weird man. I mean, like they were in the weird man thing. Nexus of Reality is kind of nowhere space. I mean, that's where they went.
Yeah,
and the frog guy I thought was great. He reminded me of like the Disney Brer,
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Not Mr. Toad, but the Brer. You know, the Splash Mountain characters. But you know, it starts off really dark, and Luke's gonna quit the Thunderbolts. All the crap with Shadowland was bad, and it was gonna end. And then you get this kind of adventure where they all kind of, you know, the three Avengers and the three Thunderbolts kind of all square off and fight. You know, Thor versus Juggernaut, and Iron Man versus Ghost, and Steve Rogers versus Crossbones. And you get really great stories, great action, and then it kind of rejuvenates the title. And now you know these three characters on the Thunderbolts have a bond now.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's the kind of thing that bothered me with this was that they're all kind of thrown together and they didn't really seem tied into one another. Now they do.
Yep.
So yeah.
And you got the ending where you know like you're staying on even after you pull out the escape and Luke just goes, "What escape, Steve?"
Yeah.
And it's just like it was so elegant to tie up the whole as a one issue thing. Great issue, and then you know at the same time, like the thing in the weird land is they all look in the water and they see what it is really, and Luke sees himself.
Yep.
This wonderful character stuff. Really, I mean, these sort of going to another world and doing whatever you like, it could be really lame.
Yeah.
And he made it work exactly with the way that these characters are going. Wonderful stuff.
To me, the story is I like Declan Shalvey, but
Kev Walker is great. No, I mean, if you're bouncing between Kev Walker and Declan Shalvey, then this is solid.
No slouch, but for me, the Kevin Walker stuff is really fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first time I noticed he doesn't really do backgrounds, which is all right, because.
Yeah.
To me, the character work is so fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of weird, but not a bad way. Thor's face was weird the whole way through. Which again, I'm fine with the little scene where he walks through the women's prison. By the way, the best.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
and you gotta be extra Thor. You have Thecth. And I had to say it out loud. I was like, "What is that?" Oh.
And then if you've never had an opportunity to read the original Busiek Bagley Thunderbolts, the one that we all fell in love with in 1997 or whenever it came out.
That's a big...
They reprint it in the back, and that's a great first issue.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Masters of Evil!
You know what's so funny, though, is open up to that first page. Yeah, it was April 97. Open up to that first page of it and look at what the state of what Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America looked like at the time.
That's a bad time for Marvel.
It was a bad time for Marvel.
I wouldn't dwell.
Not so much Cap, but Thor and Iron Man. It's like, whew.
Oh yeah, that horrible purple Thor costume. Yep, look at that Iron Man
costume. And Bagley, and oh man, like this is Bagley was not nearly as good as he.
If anybody wants to know what it was like in the '90s, you weren't reading comics, and why it was such a dark time, look at that.
And this was a good version.
Yeah, this was something that we raved about. Yeah. So, anyway.
Now. Unbeknownst, or maybe a bad coincidence, very appropriate cover this week for Superman 705 with the...
I just looked at it.
Making child abuse worth reading.
Little boy in the Superman shirt with black eye, which
does
is...
Superman beat the shit out of a child abuser? Because that's the only way that story needs to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Analogous to all of us who are Superman fans. It's hard to joke about this one because it's a child abuse story.
Is that a Cassidy cover?
Yep.
They all are.
It's actually not bad.
No, it's not a bad cover. Yeah. Superman.
It's a bad cover, but it's
We didn't used to say that about Cassidy covers. We used to go, wow, that's a Cassidy cover.
The thing that I can joke about is the, I like the art a lot. Eddie Barrows is really good, and then it was also Wellington Diaz is good. But whoever this is, I think this is Diaz, he doesn't know how to draw somebody walking.
Oh.
Looks.
That's unfortunate
is
for
he
this storyline.
No, he's supposed to be walking.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
At first I was like, is he flying really low to the ground? No, he's walking. Oh. But in this issue, there's a boy really excited. Superman's visiting. He made a sign, but he's also being abused, and his dad throws him in the basement, and he calls up for Superman. Superman hears him, and saves one abused boy. And, you know, it's not... I'm not going to joke about it, because it's a horrible subject, but it's, again, just this weird tone to the whole story that's just off.
Sanctimonious.
And, actually, Mike Roma, one of our writers, reviewed Superman Earth 1 on our website last week, and he totally nailed my problem with this and Earth 1, which is the tone for Superman's all... Superman should... It's a strange downer tone that Superman should never be embroiled in this such a tone. He should be hopeful all the time. It's not working.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, X-Men number 5 I thought was lots of fun.
X-Men number 5 was I think my pick of the week. It was we got this whole vampire story that Victor Gishler has been telling, and this was kind of like this was the turn of the tide issue where the vampires are descending.
Now we see the turn of the tide.
Exactly. Yep. The vampires are descending on Utopia, and they've got their vampire army attacking. They turned Wolverine. So Cyclops, they put everybody on lockdown. The only people outside of the X-Men are the ones with armor who can't be pierced, who can't, so Colossus and armor and Emma can't be bit. And then Wolverine, then the vampires think they're all badass because they've got Wolverine. They drop Wolverine down in front of them, and Cyclops pulls his ace in the hole where they had nanites inside Wolverine suppressing his healing factor. They turn the nanites off. His healing factor came back. Wolverine goes back to human, and they kick some vampire butt, and it was awesome.
I really like that art.
Yeah,
the art was great. Yeah, but it was like not only was it great, but it was that moment when he turned and you see Wolverine's back on them, and the okay, we got this, and they just tear right through their ranks, and then it ends with Dracula showing back up against the vampires and taking leadership back. I mean, it was just great. It was the thing is, it's a typical story.
Yeah.
Like the heroes are up against the wall, and something changes, and they get the upper hand, and then the leadership falls from within on the villains, but it just works so well, and it was perfect.
For me, there was a little bit of unintentional comedy where right before they turn Wolverine back, he and Cyclops are jawing at each other for a page and a half.
Yeah.
And you turn the page, and you see they're like...
Whoa, you crumple up those pages.
Did you see him a minute ago with his cover folded over? Yeah. I was impressed.
They're like 6 inches apart the whole time.
Yeah.
I figured if they're drawing like that, they're gonna be falling at the blows.
Crunching up. But, the other thing I thought that was really clever, which is totally, just a quick throwaway, whatever, is that they have a priest anoint Iceman to turn him into holy water, and they show him just shooting icicles at the
vampires. That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
That's one of those ideas that you pitched your head in the air. I was like,
was genius.
Doesn't he use the water in the air? That's what I thought after they did that. It's like, oh, great idea, but then he doesn't like, she doesn't shoot his body.
That is true. Let's use the Back to the Future rule.
Yeah, vampires, it works. This was great. It was really, really good. So.
Similarly, Flash number 6 I thought was a nice wrap up to the
whole. Feels like forever since we had an issue, but it was so great to see this story arc wrap up and wrap up so well.
The thing: if Manipal's not going to draw Flash, he can draw Wonder Woman.
Totally, yeah.
I was like, ooh, look at that Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was great. Barry escapes the Renegades, the Renegade Rogues, and solves the case and gains some respect at work with the whole cold case stuff.
And I think they learned something by making the court scene only last an issue.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think they have. But yeah, this was great. It was as perfect as can be.
I will say, and I have to point it out, after, I don't know how long it's been delayed, 2 months, whatever, there was a couple of, like, major production problems in this. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be one of those, but, you know, you got to get that stuff right. Yeah, there was a lettering error that I've never even seen before.
Yes. Where the dummy text was behind the balloon.
Yeah. That shouldn't have been there. There was a spelling error at one point. And the thing is, I don't actually see spelling errors that often.
Yeah.
They catch it, so when in a major book, when it happens, you're like, whoa. I don't expect to see that.
It was weird because the letterer had laid out the text and then laid out the word balloon and didn't delete the text behind it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like a story point. I'm like, what's going on? Someone whispering something, but then I was like, oh no, it's the same words. And so it was weird. But what are you going to do? There was another problem in Batman with Tony Daniel where in the credit box they misspelled writer. They took away the W, so it was R-I-T-E. I don't know if that was a... You know.
Was the R backwards?
A judgment on his writing skills or not.
There's a couple of just fantastic panels in here. I love the shot running on the side of the building.
Yeah, the chasing the top was great on the time.
The spin was one of our panels of the week. I mean, this is a gorgeous book.
Yeah, it really is.
And if it has to come out every 2 months, that's fine.
I'm fine with
it.
Yeah.
Flash fact.
Yeah. I like when he says flash facts. I know. I think it's badass when he does. I don't know why.
You know what? With this one, I think it became very clear that it's Barry and not Wally.
Yes.
And not that it wasn't the other ones, but this one's like, he's different.
Yeah,
and you Barry. Can tell, and that's kind of interesting to me.
A real close runner-up for me on Pick of the Week was actually Avengers number 7, which is the first issue of the next arc, which now, like, shit got real.
Yep.
Like, so basically the Hood has come back, and we follow the Hood trying to find where Attilion was, the Inhuman City. And you don't really know it's the Hood. You don't really know what's going on. It was one of those, you know, kind of beginning of the movies, what's happening. And he goes down into the city, and he finds the Infinity Gem that Black Bolt was holding, the Reality Gem. And then he proceeds to go to... And then you get some stuff with Thor and Iron Man and Wonder Man, the Wonder Man stuff, I was just like, oh, God, the argue with Wonder Man. But then...
Why is Wonder Man the guy they always argue with now?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because he has that history, so it means something.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. And he's not used, so they can also make him...
Well, if he's just another friendly guy on the team, there's sort of no point to him, I guess.
Yeah.
He's not on the team. He thinks the Avengers are a bad idea.
He says, stop before another one of us dies. That's his whole big point. You need to... this arc, because he gets the Reality Gem, and then he goes to the Fantastic Four and gets Reed Richards' gem and gets the Power Gem.
But I like how he did that. He's got the Reality Gem so he can bend reality to his will, so he has Mr. Fantastic fall asleep.
Yeah, he's like, stay asleep. And he's like, open this door. And
forget I'm here.
And then ultimately it culminates with him ending up by misusing the Reality Gem, ending up in the desert, running into the Red Hulk, which I'm not going to get into... Isn't he on lockdown with Banner and Commander Steve and Hulk?
Depends on the storyline.
Yeah, exactly. But he runs in the Red Hulk and whoops his ass, and now we realize that it's the Hood has got 2 Infinity Gems, and that's badass. And
well, we know from the interview we do with Bendis the press conference is that this is the story. This is the next arc the Hood's attempt to gather the Infinity Gems.
Yep. And next issue we get more Illuminati, which is going to be awesome. And Infinity Gems, golden. You got
Illuminati, golden.
I was going to pick this up because I'd been enjoying the Hulk stuff so much. And obviously, I think I was wrong about it, but I picked it up and I flipped through it, and I flipped to this page of them, everybody in Avengers Tower eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
And
with the hoagie.
And I saw 9 characters standing in one panel across, just talking, and I was like, nope, that's why I didn't like it before.
Right.
But flipping through the rest of it, obviously, that wasn't what happened.
Infinity and Gem stuff is totally...
When you explained it to me, I was like, that is a good idea.
Yeah,
that's great. Excellent.
Plus the whole, in that storyline, it's going to be the unraveling of the Illuminati and them being exposed, and then what's Captain Steve's reaction to the Illuminati.
Yeah. And the Illuminati really was one of my favorite Avengers stories in a long time.
Why don't you keep that?
Yeah. Look at
that. Hold on to that.
The gift of comics.
You read that.
So speaking of the gift of comics, if you want to help the wonderful world of comics sticking around over at iFanboy, you can become a member. iFanboy is member supported. We're here through your support and help, and we thank everybody for becoming a member. If you, enjoy what we do with the podcast, and if you enjoy what we do here on the website over at ifanboy.com, and you want to have us, stick around, then becoming a member is the best way to do it. Go to ifanboy.com/store, and that's where you can sign up, and at $4 a month or $42 a year, you get some stickers and some buttons and a comic from our collection. Or for $10 a month or $100 a year, you get all that stuff plus a t-shirt. It's a direct way to help iFanboy. If you don't want to become a member, we understand. You're going to miss out on the great giveaways, though. We're doing excellent giveaways. Next year, we're going to be, in 2011, they're going to be amazing. So you don't want to miss out on that. But you can help if you don't want to be a member. You can buy a Fear Agent shirt in the iFanboy store as well, along with the membership. We have them there. You can go to ifanboy.com/Amazon. The holidays are coming. Start doing your holiday shopping through Amazon. Helps us out in the process. And click on the banners on ifanboy.com. Ultimately, we thank you all for your help. We are here because of you, and that's very nice.
The ghost.
The ghost.
Stay out. Brooklyn.
So, yeah, go to iFanboy.com/store. Help us out. You rock. Awesomeness. Other awesomeness is the Six Gun number 6. The story of this issue for me was Brian Hurt. The art killed on this.
Well, I want to, like, this was my pick of the week. And I've liked a lot of the others, but I thought this is the end of that first arc where it all comes together. A couple of things that are happening now. That Hurt and Bun have been working together for a long time. They did the Dam before this, and Bun's had a couple of projects here and there. I feel like this is the one where he's finally, like, I can now, like, as a team, they can finally let loose. And they did this thing where everything was not a double page spread.
It was a double page layout.
Double page layout for every
2-page layout.
Pretty much the whole issue.
3 strips.
And those are the kind of things you do once you've established everything and you start to do what you want.
What I found amazing about it halfway through when I realized that's what I was doing is that I never for once was lost.
No.
It made sense from the first.
Because what he learned that for some reason Brian Bendis hasn't learned, or at least the people that he worked with, is that it has to be very clear as soon as you flip the page that you got a double page spread. Yeah. And the thing with Bendis, and listen, we know I love, but he does it a lot where he'll do a double page panel splay out and you don't know.
Yep.
And here it was always clear what it was.
And that's why I said it was Brian Hurt because he did the light.
Yeah, no, totally. But like I'm sure from a script standpoint they said this is what we're gonna do with this issue.
Exactly.
And it was really impressive. Further, end of the arc, a really good tie up of it. I love the name Bill John. It's one of my favorite character names. Great. And then like there's sort of a conclusion of that character's arc sort of and there's this great thing that happens and at this point like I do feel like I know who the characters are. I know what's happening. Great setup and more stuff to come.
Get
really
the trade
great issue.
6 issues. It's going to be in the trade. It's going to be worth it. Pick it up and then jump on board because this is a great one of the best indie titles that are out there. So
DC Universe Legacies number 7, we hit the 90s.
Finally.
We've come past the Silver Age, past the Bronze Age, to Doomsday, to Bane, to everything that is both awful and awesome about comics.
And can you expect anybody better than Dan Jurgens to bring us there?
No.
Yep. There are choices on this book have been great.
Yes, but also he's basically recreating panels from his Doomsday. There's a bunch of recreated panels, which is cool. I think that's the whole point.
He's not just cutting and pasting. He's like, well, what
yay, Bat Armor, Batman, Asbats,
and Doomsday, and... Oof, just everything that was...
Rough time, but some Brian Boland stuff with
I love the backup.
Camelot 500, who knew?
The Adam goes back in time to Camelot 500 and saves the day. Yep. And it was Brian Boland doing interior pages.
Which
was gorgeous.
Is a very rare, rare thing. So.
Very rare indeed.
Cool.
Josh, and another Hellboy book this week.
Oh.
Corbin.
Oh. Double shot of evil.
Yeah, double shot of evil. It was a double feature. Yeah. It opens up and there's like a bunch of demons or undead watching... a movie theater, and then like it goes, and then you cut to the story starts. And they're just little short stories. Hellboy goes to a small town, and they totally got me. It's the stupidest thing. Like this guy, like, oh, I've been luring people into my house and killing them, but I don't mean to. Come check it out with me, Hellboy. And then he traps Hellboy. I'm like, why didn't Hellboy see that coming? And why didn't I see that coming? Just these little tiny tales with a great opening and closing. Then the second story was really fun too, and Richard Corbin does it right. This was my runner up to pick of the week.
I like
so
that
good.
Mignola can do whatever he wants.
Oh man,
he can do a mini, he can do a one shot, he can do whatever.
I think this one was actually the 50th issue. If you look at it
that
way,
together.
Oh man,
there should be more than that, shouldn't there?
Well, I don't. When you open up the inside cover, it said 50.
Yeah,
really, it was totally fun though.
So, Green Lantern number 59 for me was perplexing because I felt as if it was better than recent issues, but then I realized that now that Blackest Night is over, there are too many people. There's too many things going on.
I'm stumbling towards not caring at all.
It's all over the place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like really after all that Blackest Night stuff, they should have pared it back down, just focus on Hal. Yeah. And now like you got all the lanterns, you got the Flash alien Green Lantern, you got now the Indigo Tribe are in. But the thing was is that I enjoyed it and it was good.
I love the Barry. I mean, I saw the cover. Ooh, Barry and Hal, and then it's just like, oh, but there's 18 other people.
Exactly, and they're just standing on a roof talking. Yeah. And it's like much like the Avengers problem, where it's just
I got out a while ago. Yeah.
If it was just Barry and Hal talking,
it would be great.
We haven't really had that beyond Flash Rebirth. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But it's all wrapped up in the 14. And I think I liked that story when it was Blackest Night.
Yeah,
it's maybe time. Yeah. To move on to another story.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time coming to grips with dropping it. It's been 60 issues.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to drop it. I'll keep going with it just because I feel
like... I dropped all the other Green Lantern books.
I'm done with Emerald Warriors. I'm done with
I dropped
Corpse
it. It wasn't fun. I wasn't having fun with it.
No, but this was better than recently. I was like,
that's,
I saw it...
That's
it,
not...
Well, no, it is.
But every once in a while, you're going to
The art was stronger. Yeah, I thought, the story was actually somewhat engaging.
The problem is just the overall story is not what I want to read right now.
So
we're back with the
Cascade
Files.
So the Heroic Age villains came out this week, and you might remember last month when we totally enjoyed the Heroic Age heroes with Steve's peyote trip and then his judgment of the other heroes. As could be predicted, this wasn't
let down,
as good.
Let down.
But a little bit of let down. You get a full-page essay from Steve about the merits of villainy and how he believes in redemption and all stuff like that. And then he goes through and he analyzes all the various villains out there. No power grid. No,
oh, really?
No judgment. No condescension. Really, it's Steve's recommendation for treatment. And really, what it boils down to is what I found from reading this is that Steve is anti-death penalty. Mm-hmm. He's Kang. He's like, this mass murderer needs to be stopped. He should be incarcerated. Like, so Steve won't go the whole distance. And mm-hmm.
Can you kill Kang?
But then also, he's also very quick to admit that they are in over their head. Like Galactus, Thanos, he's like, we have no way of containing this. We can only hope Reed Richards can do something. he's very defeatist, and he's also very believing in redemption.
Pass the buck.
Yeah, exactly. But next month is the X-Men, which I can't wait for. So,
if he doesn't do the judging, then it won't be fun, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then the thing was,
did you read this whole thing?
I skimmed
it. That's like a novel.
Once I got the feeling,
can I see the cover?
This cover's great, Jay Lee.
The Jay Lee cover.
But
and when he used to do comics.
But yeah, but it was a letdown compared to the Heroes one. Definitely not the seething condescension and the seething, you know, like even Red Skull, he's like, he needs to be stopped, I recommend therapy. It's like, Steve, it's like,
can we talk about your feelings?
Wow, yeah, exactly. There's some interesting Juggernaut and MODOK on this cover.
Oh yeah, MODOK's not even in the issue either.
I know, but look at the huge MODOK arm. He usually has little tiny weirdo arms, but look at Juggernaut.
The other weird thing, if you notice, is that Deadpool is featured on the cover, and he's featured in there as a villain, and he's also in the hero book too. So
that's the mythos
of Deadpool.
That is the complex character that is Deadpool.
Anyway, so those are the books that came out this week. Those are the books that we enjoyed. You enjoyed other books as well, and you came to iFanboy.com. To write reviews, and that's awesome. So we're going to highlight some reviews. And Headless checks in with one of the strongest books this week as well. Brightest Day number 14 gave the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, less than 1% of you made your pick of the week. And Headless says, here they finally give the spotlight back to Deadman and show just how amazing he is, and that he does deserve to be included in the rebirth stories with everyone else. The story is great. The entity confronts Boston head on, showing him that he needs to pick up and quit whining to remember what he learned in his time as Deadman, the superhero, and how far he's come from Deadman, the circus performer, and Daredevil. The art is great as well, and in fact, the artist who's been working on Deadman's stories has been giving him some great facial expressions. I feel that was a good review, Headless, but that underscores how amazing this issue was.
Yes.
This was easily the best issue of Brightest Day yet, both from a story standpoint, because it ripped my heart out. It was like, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And the art was killed.
It was mostly Ivan Reis.
Yeah.
And I really like Deadman.
Deadman is a series. I mean, but it won't.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. But this was amazing. This was amazing.
Ivan Reis has sort of fallen off because he went from Blackest Night, which everybody was reading, to Brightest Day, which some people are reading, but it's not really a big book.
He doesn't do every issue, though, does he?
He does a little.
Well, they mix artists.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
But this issue was mostly him.
Yeah.
mostly him.
And it was fantastic. We got inside the Deadman. Deadman was an asshole.
Yep.
Until he became Deadman, and I didn't like him at all in the flashbacks. Like,
no, not at all. Yeah,
and we get Bruce Wayne. He comes back into the mix here, and Deadman thinks Bruce is supposed to be the White Lantern. Gives him the ring, and the ring says, "Nope,
it's you. It's still you.
It's still you. Stop trying to pawn off the ring on other people."
Yeah.
But I like that he's. It's not like they got rid of Batman now. Batman remembers Maxwell Lord because he was quote unquote dead while the whole mind wipe happened. So he's gonna get involved with that.
So a nice little cliffhanger. We need to talk about Max Lord. That was good. But this issue was amazing.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really strong. The Brightest Day is, I mean, people don't talk about it, but it's very good.
It's hit or miss for me. For me, it's total hit or miss. The Hawkman issue.
Well, the Hawkman issues are bad.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but that's hit or miss.
But that's how 52 was.
Yeah.
It depends on the storyline they're following. Everybody but the Hawkman stories, I think, are good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Look reviewed Batman the Return. You give the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And 0.46 of you made it your pick of the week. The numbers were low because Batman Incorporated had over 80% total picks.
Jeez, that's insane.
Hey, Look's review says Morrison's grasp on Bruce is amazing. Even though you can tell he's a changed character, he's still recognizable to the reader. He's the same old Bruce, just with more joy in him. Now onto the art. David Finch was born to draw Batman. Right after seeing that opening two-page spread of Bruce, you could tell that his art has the perfect tone to fit this book. It's dark and edgy with tons of shadows. This issue really helped cement Bruce's new costume and how it should always look. Overall, this issue made me very happy for the future of the Bat books. Just like Bruce, you can tell that Morrison has a big plan, and I can't wait to see what it is.
Is this the Finch one?
This is the Finch one.
And that's why I didn't bother, but
It was good. Okay. I'm coming around to Finch a little. I used to not like him a lot. I liked him when he did those X-Men Second Coming one-shots. Yeah. I really liked those issues. And he's actually pretty good in terms of a very dark, shadowy Batman.
It doesn't look bad. It's not my favorite kind of thing, but it's
he's just the side of Jim Lee. But this issue was the setup issue for Batman Incorporated. I said originally I'd read this first, and I thought, well, that really should have been Batman Incorporated Zero, but really it wasn't because it was.
Well, I didn't read it, and I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I missed.
No, you didn't. This is basically Bruce gathering all the troops and saying, here's how it's going to be. He gives them all little folders. This is what your life's going to be like.
What I want to see is the scene beforehand where he's collating.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the blade out, and he's like, this one's for Rob. Wait, no, it's Red Robin. Sorry.
He like gives Stephanie a folder and says, you got to go to boarding school in England. And she's like, I don't want to go to boarding school in England. And you know, you've got to do this stuff. And that's, he's basically laying out. And I like the final panel, which is kind of him saying, game on. And this one deals with him fighting a Middle Eastern Batman who is maybe not so good.
Oh, interesting.
But I really liked it. I think Finch is going to be good.
Nice coloring in this one.
Yeah. We don't talk about coloring enough, but like books like Hulk and
like, it's a huge portion.
The coloring has been really good this week. But those what you guys thought of books, so.
Yeah, go to ifanboy.com/comics and do your pull list and rate and review them.
Before we go on real quick, I'd just like to go the treatment for Deadpool.
Yeah.
Recommended long-term incarceration in a mental hospital and psychiatric aid, comma. Though I don't think the latter will work.
He is a defeatist.
Yeah, he is.
No, but there's no follow-up to that.
Yeah, none.
I don't think it'll work.
So why are we doing it?
And as a manager, don't you need to...
How did we win the war?
Seriously, he's so
he wasn't
quick.
There.
He's so quick.
He didn't follow through.
I mean, look. I mean, Kang, treatment. I find it hard to believe that Kang, who devastated my nation's capital, could ever be reformed. Should we ever recapture this mass murderer, he should be in prison for life.
Well, no shit. They should all be in prison for life.
It's like
he's a master of time.
It's like grow some balls. It's like seriously, Red Skull of all the people, Red Skull, recommend lifelong incarceration. The International Criminal Court is eager to put him on trial, although I fear he would rather enjoy the exposure. Like Steve, geez, man, you know
who's writing that book? Still,
it's all the trade people. It's Michael Hoskin, Chad. I don't want to call these people names. I feel bad, but this needed a lot more peyote. And judgment, and seething judgment.
That's a disappointment.
Yeah.
In stock trades, where you can save up to 37% off all of your trade paperbacks, you got free shipping and orders over $50, and over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order. You guys might not be aware, this is the In Stock Trade warehouse you're sitting in.
The piles are growing, dude.
New releases are listed every Wednesday. Order ship within 48 hours when you go to www.instocktrades.com, where you can probably get this month's Book of the Month.
Yes, you can.
On discount.
Yes, very good discount.
Which means it's time for Book of the Month discussion.
It certainly
is.
We
just did 2 weeks ago.
It was an easy call this month. Return of the Dapper Men by Jim McCann and Janet Lee. This week is the first time that most people can buy it, although you could get it at the New York Comic Con back last month, which is when I did. So I read it a little while back. There's a lot of talk about... expanding
all ages books.
Expanding comics to more readers, to all ages, to things like that. And to be completely honest, this is a way to use the medium of comics to expose it to different kinds of people. And the thing is, this is going to read like a fairy tale book. You can give it to older kids or adults or something like that. And it's really going to work for them, and that's because it's done really well, and it's unlike other things. This is if you've been watching our show or listening to it, you've probably seen or heard Jim McCann on here talking about it for a while.
Insane crazy.
Not too long, but because it really did get put together very quickly.
It did. I seem like it just announced it. Told us about it.
Well, it's been a year now. I mean, like, it was San Diego 2009 when I first heard about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I remember standing next to him at the Arkea booth when he was talking to Steven about it, and that was just a little over a year ago.
2009.
Steven's the editor-in-chief of Arkea. And so they brought it together really rather quickly, and...
Even more impressively, because if you see the art, that came together so quickly.
Well, the thing is that we have been talking, to Jim about this for a while, and we've had him on the show, and we've done Talksplodes and things like that. And so when I got it, I was like, oh,
yeah.
I hope this is good.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
a little afraid to read
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
intimidating.
And probably a quarter of the way through, I was like, oh, there we go, that'll be fine. And at the end, I didn't stop. I read the whole thing in one piece. It's difficult to describe... Because it's a bit otherworldly, but it's a fairy tale. It's a fable. There's a world called Anarev. Read that backwards. You'll start to get one of the many hidden Easter eggs in the whole thing. And it starts with like a, long from now in a land known as Anarev. Like that right away tells you it's a modern fairy tale. And in this world, time has stopped. The clocks. Jim said it this way, and it's great. The clocks have ticked, but never talked. And that's it. Things stopped. and the robots control everything above the ground, and they're, you know, they're just all robots, and then underneath the ground are the only humans that are left, and their kids. But everything is just sort of stalled, and it's just life isn't moving forward at all. It's just there. And there's sort of these two characters, Aiden and Zoe, and they're like, something's different about them, and something's going on, and then...
See the world differently.
Yeah. But people...
And are, Aiden's a human, and Zoe's a robot.
And ne'er the tween shall meet normally.
Exactly, yep.
And then, you know, they look up to the skies, because they hear a talk, and the dapper men, these...
314 well-dressed bowler hat women.
That double page shot of them all descending, there. Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. Great design. I mean, like, that's we'll get into the art in a second. But yeah, so the dapper men come down and they start putting the world right, and they start making the clock tick and talk and make time move forward, and they start fixing the world, and, you know, and the kids come up from the underground and realize what's going on, and they figure out how to live with the robots. And I don't want to go any further from there, because I think you need to read it and take for... And it's the great thing is that you take the meaning for yourself, and that's what a good story or a good fairy tale does.
And depending on your age, experience, point of view, you're going to get different things out of the metaphors in this book. It's just a lot of... And like I said, he's got other Easter eggs in there. He's got little things. It's very well thought out. And I just really enjoyed it. It was something different. This is probably going to be some sort of animated feature at some point someday. Yeah. I've no doubt in my mind.
I would be surprised full feature, full people too.
And animated in the best possible way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It definitely lends itself to animation because of the look and feel, and that's where we get into the art. Janet Lee is a commercial artist. I mean, like, she's an artist, like, not, you know, this is her first comic work, sequential work, and we featured it on the video show. You can see how she works. She would draw the pages and the characters and then cut them out and then mount them on wood and
which
then,
she had painted with, like, house paint.
Yeah, and then layer in these amazing decoupage kind of backgrounds, and, like, and that's what the original art pages are. And planks of wood.
We've seen them.
We saw them at New York Comic Con, and to see them
up close, they're actually even more impressive.
Yeah.
But one of the things that actually stuck out to me that I was like, oh, all this color is real.
Yeah.
This color actually happened. One of the other things going on is this is our first sequential work, and you'll see a little progression in this. In the beginning, she's very fancy. I think maybe too fancy for her own good. On a couple of things, it gets a little like overly done, and then pretty soon she figures out how to make pages work.
Yep.
And she gets the grid, and it actually gets a little more straightforward, but the storytelling gets clear. And I, for me, like, reading that as a from a process point, it's neat. It's neat to see it. Yep. It's like, and that she's getting the hang of it, and as her momentum gets going, the story gets going. It's just a lot of fun to read. This is one of those things that it's going to make a great gift.
Yeah,
it's a big, beautiful book. The pages are like a square format. It's hardcover.
And the hardcover version, like the sneak preview at New York Comic Con, the one that came out has the cloth binding, and the paper stock is a thicker matte paper, and it's got the smell, and it's, of course, it's got a ribbon, which is the sign of a good book, and it really is a whole experience. It's just kind of like this book, you know, needs to be held and experienced, and you need to pour into every page, and it totally is just wonderful. It's total escapist. Modern fairy tale, that's the best way to describe it, and with a great message, and it works.
From an execution standpoint, it's just impressive. It's concept, idea, execution.
Yeah.
And it all worked and came together in the end in a way that I think is going to be very successful.
Yep.
And I'm glad for that. Yeah. I think this is a good example of, and you know, maybe regular comic fans, this sort of Marvel DC buyers, maybe this isn't going to be their thing. Maybe they're not going to buy a lot of it.
This is the bookstore market. I mean,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, there's going to be a portion of them, the readership, the normal direct market readership, that'll enjoy it, but it's mostly for people who go buy Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, I mean, we strongly recommend it to everyone listening. Mm-hmm. You know, you won't go wrong with it. It's, you know, might, you know, it's not superheroes and it's not fighting and all that. Well, there's some fighting, but more arguing. But you know, but it definitely. I defy someone to say
comics.
This is bad. Yeah, it's comics.
But it's comics. Like, yeah, exactly. That's my point. Being like, at the end of the day, this is comics as much as anything else.
Yep.
And it uses the form in a different way to tell a different kind of story.
Another example of how great the medium can be done.
Yes. Yes. Really.
Very Brazil at some point.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. I mean, Jim uses the term steampunk a lot. I just don't tend to use it, but obviously it's there.
Because they're gears. I mean, because I think that's an easy way to connect with what it is. But that's why I think, like, more Terry Gilliam than steampunk.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. that, but with like that fairy tale, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and now, quick note though, you know, because, you know, it's because of the way the whole industry works and stuff like that, your comic book store might not have gotten this because they might not know what to do with it and didn't order it.
In fact, most likely they didn't get it.
Most likely, yeah. So I would say go to Amazon, order on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, get it through there, get it through Midstock Trades, you know, but get it, you know, or go to your comic book store and tell them you want it and have them order it.
Yeah.
The first printing sold out in 24 hours. They're going to do a second printing. It's going to be back really soon, so you can get it. There's a great, Josh is flipping through it now, there's a great whole section at the back where they're going through the Janet's process with the art. And how she works, so you can really see how it's done. Yeah, it's just, it's great. So, and there are all these great pinups in the back with Scott Young and Katie Cook and David Mack, and just like, oh, it's
Mark,
great.
Mike Perkins, Adrian Alfana.
Great stuff, so.
Look at that.
Yeah, so definitely get it. So from Arkea, you can go to ifanboy.com and read Josh's review of it, and there's a link there to buy it on Amazon. Go, trust us, go buy, give it for Christmas. It's awesome.
All right, we have a very timely email to answer this week. You ready? Steve from Seattle, who's True Stranger on the website, says, kind of bummed with all the canceled books going on. I really enjoyed Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy, and now it's very obvious they're not coming back anytime soon. Also, I'm a huge fan of Chris Samnee's art and just heard that Thor the Mighty Avengers canceled, and I was looking forward to reading it. Yes, looking forward. I read in trades. I like reading my comics that way, and I feel like I get more bang for my buck. Also, I don't really want to buy most series twice, so my question is this. Do Marvel and DC consider trade sales before canceling a series, or do they only take single-issue sales into account? Other aspect of the question, do indie publishers only collect a series if the single issue sales are good, or only if the author is popular? P.S. Obviously they didn't in this case of the Thor Mighty Avenger, but don't they consider trades a valid way of making money?
Oh, the challenge.
It's complex. It's a complex question. It's a
complex issue.
It's not an easy answer for this.
Cash flow depends on issues.
I mean, that's the thing. The way.
But that's not the simple answer either.
No. I mean,
for some companies, yeah.
For some divisions of some companies.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's why it's not a simple answer. It's different for every.
I mean, clearly, if you're looking at the way that Marvel handled Thor the Mighty Avenger, they were going on issues, and they were saying this is a bellwether for what the trades are going to do, and we're probably not going to make our money on that. And it's important to understand. Listen, we all love Thor the Mighty Avenger. We totally did. The numbers sucked.
Yeah,
That's plain and simple.
10,000 an issue, 10,000 per issue.
You know, the first issue, which is always going to be the one that sells the most, did something like 20.
Yeah.
20 is not enough.
Yeah, for Marvel and DC, the cutoff for everyone knows from what we've been able to tell is somewhere between 20 and 30, depending on the book. Like a book, it's more than likely 30,000 sales per week, per month, per issue. But there could be some exceptions where there's a creative team or something's going on where they can deal with 24.
You're gonna see that ceiling is gonna raise.
And anything under 20, Marvel and DC is not. It doesn't make sense. And the thing is that. You know, and whether Josh is right or wrong, we don't know because we're not into the sales meetings, things like that. Whether they're seeing issue sales as a bellwether for trade sales, who knows? But the way it works is that you've got a writer and an artist who are working on a page rate who need to get paid every month in order to do a book. That's why they do it in issue format as opposed to let's just do a trade's worth and release that trade because it takes 6 months to do that trade and they need to have money coming in to pay them.
A larger upfront commitment.
Exactly. And that's where you run into a problem with the indies, like mainly with Image, which is more of a creator kind of focused, you know, type thing where a lot of times those creators are working without getting paid.
On spec to a certain. Image does not pay.
It's up to the creator. So, like, you can have a scenario, like let's say there's a very popular book that we're all raving about in this past year at Image, where the writer paid the artist up front because he wanted to get it out because he believed
that's
exactly,
not
but,
exactly,
but Image doesn't pay them.
Right, Image doesn't. The
so you can make,
to, yeah.
But that's a huge risk on the part of the creators because you do not, especially when you're talking about, an indie book, basically, non Marvel DC.
Yeah,
you know, it's always different, but. I mean, so this is one of those things where, like, you could. I mean, a lot of people are like, screw you, Marvel. This isn't Marvel's fault necessarily.
Well, I think everyone's culpable. Everybody's culpable.
No, here's the thing. The people who bought the book aren't culpable. Although, actually, no. And we're going to get into an argument because this is a hot topic amongst the three of us, which I know. But the people who bought the issue, in a big picture, aren't culpable. If you didn't order it 3 months out, then you are culpable. Because the problem is, whether we like it or not, this comic industry now, in the direct market we're talking, lives and breathes by the solicitations and previews and the three-month orders. That's what they're basing the future on. So the thing is that if you heard, and I'm to blame for this, because I didn't advance order Thor Mighty Avenger because I came on late, because I heard all the buzz.
Well, we also live in a place where we don't have to.
Right, yeah, no, but I'm just saying, in this particular case, I knew it was coming, I knew I liked Somni, I still didn't order it 3 months out.
Do you ever pre-order anything?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I go to store, I have my pull list, these are the ones I'm saying, so every time previews comes out, order me those issues that I want. You know, and
you
then
do that.
I have to because I'm subscribed.
See, I mean, to be fair, I don't live in a place where I have to do that.
Right.
And I'm lucky in that. So I can tell
so
you.
So the thing is, if we really want to be honest about the current state, you are part of the problem.
No, the system is screwed up.
No, yes, the system is screwed up, but that is the system.
No, but if you're working to change it, then working within a bad system doesn't help.
Right, but the thing is that unless you are going to your comic book store owner and before the cutoff deadline, 3 months out, so like where are we? We're in November right now, so it is
January.
No, February's orders. So right now, previews is out, and you should be going to your, as much as I hate it, you should be going to your retailer and saying, I want these books in February. So he pre-orders them because that's what the publishers are using.
But that's operating a broken system. That's stupid, Connor, but that's the problem.
But that's you giving up things to the system.
The thing is, right. If I lived somewhere with a little comic shop who didn't do that, I would probably do that, but I don't have to.
Right.
So it's, to me, I know that the shops in Manhattan are going to get it.
Right.
So
right.
I don't need to do that.
It's the rest of the shop. I mean, you're lucky because you have stuff in a place that doesn't get it. Yeah.
I have. No, I haven't. I've never lived in a place where I had to do that.
Right. But the thing is that I shop in one of the pinnacle stores in the country, and he has pulled down on what he orders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. And to the times where there haven't been books I've been able to get. You know, like, for example, like Artifacts from Top Cat. Like, I didn't start ordering that in advance. And, you know, so I had to go other means because I could, you know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, like, unless they're ordering it out there, because the problem is then what happens is that even if there's a ton of buzz for the book the week before it comes out, the orders have already happened, and so if your retailer then goes and orders it for you a week out, there might not be enough issues printed.
Yeah, but that would if there aren't, that means they can release a reprint press release. So that does happen sometimes. And it happens with image books, I think, more than anything. The other thing that this whole Thor thing brought up that I thought was interesting is the idea of the trade waiters versus...
I think we're seeing a tipping point. More and more people are waiting for trades.
Yep.
Which is interesting because as a consumer, you know, my point is if they're going to offer different kind, you should buy the one you want and not feel bad about it. And I still do believe that, but you are taking a risk.
Yeah, you're right.
But at the same time, it's like what Connor said, like, that's kind of the system. And I'm like, well...
But the thing is that you not participating in the system isn't going to fix it. And don't get me wrong, I hate it too.
That's how you change things, by not participating in them.
Right, but this isn't political upheval. This is capitalism.
It's the same thing. If you don't buy a product, then they have to change.
But that's how you nose off despite the face.
They're like, this isn't selling, maybe we need to do it a different way.
Right, yeah, eventually. And eventually they'll be like, we're not selling any issues. And the problem with it is that on one hand, it's the people to blame are the people who didn't advance order. The other people to blame are, to a certain degree, the publisher, because with five or six Thor titles out, the retailers don't know what
to
order.
They glut at the Thor market.
They're going to go with the one that matters. They just want to seem out of continuity. It looks a little different. It's a little weird. And then further from there, it's the retailer's fault. It's the publisher's fault for not working with the retailers to explain what the stuff is adequately. And then it's the retailer's fault for not investigating. There are a lot of comic book stores out there, and we know the good ones. We go to the good ones, but there are a lot of bad ones out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of really lazy store owners who they model their ordering off of, well, this book is like we know a lot about Hawkeye Mockingbird from talking to Jim McCann and stuff like that. A lot of retailers base their ordering off Hawkeye Mockingbird on how Green Arrow sold.
Yeah.
That's...
Dumb.
It's because it's a character with an arrow, you know. But that's how some of these retailers work. And even my store hid
Thor with the kids' books.
Exactly. So if you want to know who's to blame for Thor the Mighty Avenger, it's the people who didn't order in advance. It's the publishers and it's the retailers. Those are the people who should take responsibility for it. You know, and that's the problem. And that's the problem with the entire industry. And we're going to see this more and more and more as you look at those sales numbers. They're going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think because the market's changing.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is happening from Marvel and DC is, especially at DC, well, at Marvel, they're both in a new spotlight for their corporate overlords.
Yeah.
And
that's true, too.
We've
already heard that Marvel says they're going to cut their line.
Yeah.
They're going
and you're seeing
it. Rumbles in DC, the same thing.
You know, because clearly anybody you've noticed the changes that has happened at DC, like, they're looking at them now.
Well, that's what we joked, like, Dead Man's great, Dead Man needs a series, and we know it's not going to happen. If it did happen, it wouldn't be more than five issues.
If people wouldn't buy it, retailers wouldn't order it.
Right.
End of story.
Exactly.
And quality has, Liz, we've learned, quality has nothing to do with it.
It's the sad thing about it, in the future of comics, with the exception of Dark Horse and Image and IDW, the future of Marvel and DC is you're going to see a lot of Avengers, a lot of Captain America, a lot of X-Men, a lot of Thor, a lot of Superman, a lot of Batman, a lot of Green Lantern.
A little less Thor.
With the movie, who knows?
But
and Green Lantern and Batman, and that's it. And what you're going to see is you're going to see like five or six titles of those characters. and you're never going to see another Doom Patrol. You're never going to see a dead man. You're never going to see.
If you do, it's not going to be an ongoing.
Yeah, exactly.
You've actually seen recently stuff
Marvel
that got Marvel She-Hulk was going to be an ongoing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, would have never.
Right.
Yeah. And nothing to do with the creative team. I'm not. Yeah. You know.
Well, no, but look. We've seen what happens. So She-Hulk is going to be an ongoing. Now it's not
down to three issues.
So after Widowmaker, Hawkeye's going to a 4-issue miniseries.
Yep.
The Punisher after Frankencastle, they made Punisher. Now that's a 4-issue miniseries. Like Marvel's moving towards the Hellboy model.
Mignola.
Yeah.
Set the tone.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah, so.
What's funny is that people talk about the Hellboy model as a series of minis. The thing is,
they're on go.
It is. Yeah, it comes out every month.
Yeah.
On the dot.
No, but the point is, every month is a new number one.
I know.
That's the other thing too. Yeah,
that's the only important thing about the minis.
Other than the established Superman, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, nobody cares about issue number 130 or whatever.
We're definitely seeing a sea change though.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Yeah.
And this is a moment.
This is a moment to remember. Yeah.
This is a time, though. It's time to be proactive about it. Yeah. You know, within reason. I mean, the thing is, you know, history's shown us that it's not going to be much you can do about these mid-list titles.
Yeah,
we're going to be hurting.
Yeah, sad. So, wow, long answer. There you go. But
sad.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a reaction like this across the spectrum.
I've been thinking about it. But here's the problem: the reaction like this is amongst, and it sounds obnoxious to say, but it's amongst us in the know. The reaction across Twitter and stuff like that, the hundreds, maybe low thousands people, I think the hundreds of people,
mm-hmm.
Okay? 10,000 people, 10,000 issues, 10,000 orders of that book went. There were, you know,
needed to be 30, though.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is that I don't know, and we do a website, it's part of our responsibility, I don't know how to get to that 20,000 people that are more who aren't in the know like we are. Like, the thing is that it's a critical hit that all of us bloggers and all of us media types
and all
of us creators know about it. But that is, it's such a bubble. Like, we are in such a bubble within comics that and Thor Mighty Avenger made me realize that. Where, like, there's a bubble of what's going on. And yes, we're doing a little tastemaker and we're making recommendations. But even then, we're talking to a bubble.
Yeah, yeah. And you can make a dent. We can make a sizable dent, but you're going to feel it more on something like an Image title or something
than
you are going to move the Mighty Marvel or DC ship.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the problem is that, you know, Marvel needs to get those comics in the DC store.
This is almost
and the
like
Disney store and Walmart and stuff like that. I mean, that's what has to happen.
This is almost like the Katzenberg memo era.
Yeah.
Of comics.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're going to be like, no, just blockbusters. Formula, this, you know, Captain America, Hulk on a cover.
It's the whole event scenario. Mm-hmm. Everyone claims to hate events, but they don't.
It
they
works.
All buy them, and they don't buy anything else when they're not events.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's the, you know, what Ron said, only the blockbusters, well, it's only going to be event-driven.
Yep.
I think they're going to have to get back to the event-driven books because we've seen the numbers.
This year they dipped from the events, and everything
sales
dipped.
Sales were in the toilet.
So, anyway. So
you know what the difference is?
What?
It's what people say they want isn't what they actually want.
Well, yeah, Deadpool. Nobody wants Deadpool, according to our bubble, but it sells better than anything. It sells better than Thor the Mighty Avenger. Why? I don't know.
Because what people say they want.
You know what? You know, honestly, you know who's the smartest guy in comics? Rob Liefeld.
Absolutely.
There you go, yeah. So, but great question, Steve, and we're sorry. We're mourning with you as well. If you have a question about anything, the industry or whatever, email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
And we will make our guesses.
Yes.
We're going to skip the voicemail because we went long on that email question, but that's fine. It was a good discussion. We have a Don't Miss show every Monday.
Supposedly.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little tough during the holidays as they come up, but we are always chasing down creators to talk to you on iFanboy Don't Miss.
It's not our fault.
Yeah, exactly. Usually every Monday. We missed last week. We're working on this week. But Thanksgiving might get in the way. But yeah, we'll get there. So subscribe to iFanboy Don't Miss. When it comes out, it is worth listening to. So and if in lieu of Don't Miss, you can listen to A Taste of Comics, which had a new episode come out this past Thursday. C.B. Cebulski from Marvel, Philip Sablik from Top Cow, Russ Cundiff from Divide Pictures, and myself talking about eating at the New York Comic Con and other great comics. And we've got another episode coming out.
What are you talking about? Meat on a stick.
No, I talked about the
Italian restaurant.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, the Casa
the
Isaac.
Steak of Six.
Yeah. I didn't talk about the Steak Six. I talked about the fact that he brought steak into him. I didn't go into that detail.
The Steak of Six.
The Steak Six. But anyway.
No one knows what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Six of us do.
That's all that matters. And so next week we'll have another episode as well where we talk about Thanksgiving. So you definitely want to take a listen to that. So, and you can find that all at ifanboy.com, where you can also read Connor's Pick of the Week review, as well as all the other great discussions and
Josh's
articles
Book of the Month review.
And posts and things like that. And Josh's Book of the Month review is there. You can get it all there. Great stuff. Go to ifanboy.com/about to find out all the links to social networks. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/ifanboy. We got a video show that comes out every Wednesday. This past week, Connor and Josh had a very special, awesome episode about the Joker, where they got to talk to comic book legend Jerry Robinson at the DC offices, which was really kind of awesome.
He speaks softly.
He does, but yeah. And next week we're looking at the phenomenon of The Walking Dead.
So, yeah, I hope so.
So
send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. Call our voicemail on 888-FANBOYS, 326-2697. Tell us where you're from. Keep it rather short and send those in. We like talking. We like the voicemails.
Yes.
If you want to pre-order our show, the best way to do it is to leave reviews on iTunes for the show, for the Don't Miss show, for the video show, for all of those things. Let people know about it. The more you may look and go, there's a lot of reviews there, you don't need mine. The more ratings and reviews, the better.
Get involved, yeah.
The more, that's one way to do it. Another way is you see something you like, tweet about it, put it on Facebook, tell people about it in the shop. If you think somebody will like the show, let people know about it. You are our marketing system. You are the guys who keep us alive, not only through becoming members and stuff like that, but by telling people about the show. And that word of mouth is crucial to us in an ongoing fashion. So it's something we really appreciate that all of you guys have been doing. And please keep doing it, because you make the motor turn, and we will we appreciate that. So thank you.
Awesomeness, yes. Thank you. So excellent. So, and this is the Thanksgiving is this coming week. So we
should be, this is the last.
This is the last episode. What?
In the United States, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday. Read some comics on the long weekend.
I don't know how that's going to affect the next episode.
What do you mean?
Well, let's not talk about it now.
We'll talk about it off the air.
So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Joshua Flanagan, Esquire. Love doesn't know anything, only believe.